the name of the Lord. We have been going on with a sense of fellowship as a church. And since we are about to break into small fellowships or cell groups, fellowship centers, Pastor has begun a series where we church as a community and we realize the benefit of being a community. How many of you remember anyone? Okay, what number one was? Oh, come on, people. Access to support. Number two? Okay. Next time, don't refer to the notes. You need to know. God is good. Today, we're going to look at the church as the body of Christ. And so, this one is loaded. I don't know if it was one Sunday you can finish, but therefore we'll try strive to give a summary of what it means to be a body of Christ. It's so funny we are expanding. I listened to Pastor Victor. Now he has earned the right to say if you are single. He couldn't have said that a few... If you are not, like a few months ago, a year ago, he wouldn't have said, if she's single and available, we'll say, what's wrong with him? Because he was single and available. But now, that's growth and expansion. So he has a right to say these things. Praise the name of the Lord. We are praying that somebody else will also come and say these things soon. Amen. Father, we thank you and bless you. Be magnified as we share your word. Your word is already anointed. Release it to our hearts. Let it come forth as a seed that will bring change and transformation in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll be looking at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where we will focus from verse 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, where we will get our message this morning. And the scripture there is loaded. And so the Bible says, I cannot read that far, I'll read this one. For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we all have met to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one members but many. If the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear would say, because I'm not the eye, am I not one of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were the hearing, what would be the smelling? But now God has set, look at that word, God has set members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the body, to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the hand, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which think to be less honorable, on this we bestow a great honor, and our unpresented parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks, that there should be no schemes in the body, but that members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Hallelujah. I mean, that's enough. If you read it and meditate upon it, it is so loaded, it's almost sufficient in itself. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to know that when Jesus sought to come to the world, the Bible says, the body has you formed for me. He came to do his will. God formed a body for God to be in the world. This is a mystery you need to capture. That God, the Spirit, would not have operated on the face of the earth without a body. Now Jesus came in the body after it was given. He said a body was formed for me. And now he left another body on the face of the earth. The key word I want you to see here is the body is not severed from the head. He's just one with the church. So for us, we remain here on earth, not without Jesus. Do you remember when Paul was persecuting the church? And Jesus appeared to him. He didn't say, why are you persecuting my church? What did he say? Because the body, Jesus and the church are one. No. I don't think you have understood what I've said. You are not separated from him. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22-23, the Bible says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We are the fullness of Christ. But of course, because we are different members, we can read through the scriptures you'll find in Ephesians and all this, but God finds full expression when we are one as a body. There's something about you that God has not given me, and I need it. And so when we come together as one, we give full expression of who Jesus is. Because he's not severed. If you cut the head off the body, will there be a body and a head? Everything will be dead. So we are living reality of Jesus on earth. Please capture this. It is not that we pray from God who is far away. We are the living presence reality of Jesus on earth. We may not express it or manifest it as we ought, because sometimes we think differently. But Paul gives us an analogy, which I wouldn't even say it is, but he gives us a human body. Can the hand say, if you cut these pieces and put it differently, is it a body? You put the leg there, you put the hand there, you put the fingers there. It can't be one body. It has to be one unity. It has to be single. Praise the name of the Lord. Please let this sink into you, that when we come and gather like this, anywhere you have read in the Bible and you hear the Bible says, and in one are God, God has always moved. Anywhere you see people becoming like that, it's like that. Jesus said, this is my body now. And he lays the foundation, him as the foundation of the church. Let's capture this. There are so many things I want to share about this, but until we understand the reality of that we are not different from Jesus as far as concerned, when he was talking about the poor, visiting the poor, he said, you visited him in the hospital, you visited him in the, he never separated himself from people. He's one with people. He said, if you do this unto the least one of these, you do it unto me. And some of us are waiting to see Jesus. Look at him, look at your neighbor, you'll see him. He himself said, if you see me, you have seen my Father. Can we say, if we see you, we see Jesus? It is, if you reflect him, because you are supposed to be the expression of who Jesus is. Why? We are the body of Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. We are the body of Christ. And there are so many multiple things I wish I could share everything else, but I know it is way too much to do that. We thank God. Hallelujah. And so, Paul gives us that we are the fullness of him who fills all things. And sometimes we feel so inadequate ourselves. And so we come to church, me as me, what am I doing in this church? My contribution is irrelevant. No. We look the knowledge of the body, of a human body, there are some visible members that most of us see, and there are invisible members like nerve system, that everything, the intricacy of the body is so marvelous, but everything is needed. Sometimes when you have headache, you wish your toe would be hurting. But sometimes when the toe begins to hurt, you wonder, I wish something else was. Everything makes you feel. How many of you have felt that? Oh, I'd rather have a toothache, like an eye or this. No, no, no. Everything will make you feel. Because everything is part of who you are. Your members are what makes the whole of you. But this is the same as a spiritual body, the church. You may think we are not necessary, but you are. This is the dream of Jesus for his church. He doesn't have scattered members. He has a body. As far as concerned, he does not measure you by what you have. No, because what do you have that he has not given you? He does not measure you by anything else. He measures you by you being his. One man said, when God looks from heaven and sees his children, some have more toys than others. But as far as God is concerned, the most important thing is you, not what you possess. Once we begin to look at life reflectively like that, we begin to appreciate one another. That we bear the image of God. And not just an image of God, but a living image of God. We are the living image bearer of God. In other words, he dwells in us and finds expression through us to the world. Praise his old name. So what is the body? As the church is not an organization. The church is not this building. The church is an organism. A living assembly of people that God has called out. Praise the name of the Lord. Pastor gave us a very ably that we are a community. Yes. It's a place of fellowship. But when we come to the body, mostly the emphasis is going to be a place of function. We are here to serve him. Praise the name of the Lord. And so when we go through it, you'll find that everybody, he gave us diverse gifts to serve the body. And some are not visible, some are visible. Some of the greatest prayers ever answered are done in secret. Some of the great contributors in this church may not be seen visibly, but they're laboring in prayers. Some are visible, but all of us are needed. You may say you just came to this church by accident, but the mere fact that you are here, your presence here, you're already contributing something. By being part of the body here, you are needed. Please, I submit this to you. Don't come to this church just for the sake of fulfilling a Sunday routine. When you step in this building, say, God, I may not know. They may not give me that pulpit. But what am I here to contribute? What can I supply to the betterment of this body? In your own quiet prayer, ask God. Before anybody can give you an opportunity, there will be something God has brought you here, because God does everything on purpose. You didn't come here by accident. He drew you here. And what is it he wants to fulfill with you being a member of this church? Don't wait for the pastor. And beautiful thing is that every Sunday we announce people to join here or there. But have you asked the Lord what you can contribute? What is it by being here as a gift? I know of a church in Saddleback. This man put it in such a way that every member must come and give 2 hours a week. Whether you are a professor, everybody must come and in the church. Even if you are doing nothing, you just go to church to give your 2 hours a week. Praise the name of the Lord. No, everybody. And so the church is ever full of activities, because people, I'm going to give my 2 hours to the church, whether it's prayer or just going to clean. We don't wait for cleaning. So a church of 5,000 and every Sunday people are coming. Can you say this week, every week I'll give 2 hours to my church? You give 4 hours to your job. What about something for your church? Intentionally, just say, I'm going to sit in the church. Even if I don't know how to pray, I'll be there until I fulfill my 2 hours. We will begin to see a revolution in this church. Praise the name of the Lord. Guys, we need to learn to understand that unless we're intentional, we're not going to see anything happen. Come. You know, but you see, we're living in a generation that when people come to church, they feel they're doing God a favor. No, God is doing you a favor to be in the church. He has already given you favor to be alive and be here. Please, the world is going to be more wicked. You need people who are sane, people who are sober that you can relate with. Don't take for granted the body, the community God has given you. You're going to need people. And therefore, rejoice with what God has given you. I'm asking you intentionally, because can you give your... If you ask me, I already told Pastor, I want to give my Thursday fully here. I will just come and stay here and pray. So it's not something I'm just stating you to. So can you come and give your hours here? I said, if anybody needs prayer on Thursday or any counseling, God will be here. Give something. You have something to give. But it's something you talk to God. It's not something they assign you to. Because there's something within you and God that is so unique that if he allows you to release it, this body is going to be edified. This body is going to be built up. And so that is you and God. He'd never prod you by accident. Here you have something to fulfill. Hallelujah. That was not part of the message, but it's a message to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So the body... there's a few things I want to say about the body. One of the key words in the body is unity. If you read us, you find that the body it has to be built on unity, on oneness. And so you see, Jesus prayed for it. You read in John 17 from verse 9 to 10, he said, I pray for them. I do not pray for them for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine. I'm glorified in them. Now, I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world. I come to you, Holy Father, keep them through your name, and those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Unity is very important. Strive to be united. You know, it's easy to... There's a very little distinction between the gospel and the gossip. And so people say so many things. You are here for the gospel. Where the human being are gathered, there will always be some things that are not in place. But it's up to you to focus on why you're here. Build the unity of the body. If you go searching for weakness, you find so many here. But if you go searching for what you can contribute... The Bible says all joints contribute something. If you seek to do something good, you find something good to do. But the key is, if we're united, we're going to see powerful things here. Praise the name of the Lord. So Jesus just never, if there's any, you know, what we call the Lord's Prayer is our prayer. That one he taught us to pray. This is his prayer. This is the prayer he prayed for the Father. The other one, it was for us to pray. This is the Lord's Prayer. His desire is that we be one. Hallelujah. Because he knows the moment we become one, we will be hooked to him as one, and therefore will become a very powerful expression of who he is. And the world will never be the same again. Talk of revival. Revival is when we're united as one people, one mind, one spirit, following him. We will change this world when we're united. And that's why it is for him, he's praying this prayer for us. Oh, that they may be one as we are one. Why is it? What does he mean? The Father, the Godhead is a Trinity. You know, I was always wondering, if God lived alone, how can he be love and he had nobody to love? But I realized he was never alone. He was one in three. He loved the Son loved the Spirit. There was a Trinity, there was a community of love already. Now, for him to come to love us, he's inviting us into the love that already exists between the Godhead. Amen. And therefore, he's praying that we be one as they are one. And the thing that knits them together is love. Hallelujah. Amen. Whenever there's oneness, anywhere, whether in the book of, in the upper room, when one are God, the Spirit came. Whether in the book of Acts chapter 4, when they were with one of God, the power fell. Anytime people are united, God is there. It's like he said, that is what I'm looking for. So, living word, can we be one? Can we put aside what we think we have or we don't have and focus on one thing. What God wants to do in this house. The vision he has given this house. Can we rally behind it and fulfill it? Some of the blessing we are praying so hard to get are not supposed to be things to pray for. When the church becomes one, and by virtue of being one, things begin to happen, and some of the things we are praying for will become ours without prayer. No, you have not listened to me. I'm saying that if we pray, we become what we are supposed to be. Because some of the blessings we are seeking for are tied to our purpose in life. Once we begin to flow with the purpose, they will follow us. And one of these purposes is that we become one. Please, if by God's will you are drawn to this church, love it. Make it home. One of the things that makes Winners Chapel worldwide become such a tremendous influence in the world is that these people celebrate who they are. You will never see a winner pretend they're not. They are so proud of who they are. You can talk whatever you want about these people, but they love who they are as a church. And if we don't celebrate who we are here, we are not going to see much. It's like some of you are ashamed to bring people in your church. Then what are you doing here? If this is a good church, then draw people here. Tell them about the beautiful. I've lived a little bit more years than most of you, and I've listened to so many people. I've been in conferences. There is a powerful word coming from this pulpit. And if you don't, I'm not saying this for exaggeration. It's true. Pastor is teaching so powerfully. And the world needs that. Praise the name of the Lord. And I'm asking you, be proud of where you are. That's the step. And when we begin to be proud of where we are, we begin to begin, then God will not give you something you don't value. And if you're gonna release any gifting here, you must value what is here so he can give you what to give. If you are not sure, we forgive you. But with time, may God make you see. Amen. Hallelujah. See, because the base is of our church, the foundation is unity. One accord, oneness is key. We see Paul desires it. In Philippians chapter 2, from verse 2, he says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. What's so powerful about unity that these great men of God are crying out for it? They know. We live in a generation that is so disjointed. Somebody says, we are highly connected, but highly disconnected, isolated. We are on the net, and we think we have a network, and we reach people. It's beautiful. But we don't use that to realize that we need to be alive to one another as a living organism. Praise the Lord. May we be one as him and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. He seeks, because a moment that happens, things begin to happen. So I that one is a series in itself, the unity of the church. And therefore, I'm just giving you a summary of what the body is. The body, because this body you have is a unity. The hand has not said, I'm not the body. The eyes has not said, I'm not part of the body. They are one. That is what he used as analogy of what the body of Christ is. So if you cut off these other members, then that will not be a body. And so you, as you are born again, you are the body. Now, you may like it, may not like it, you don't feel like it. It's not a feeling, it's a reality. You are the body of Christ. You are a member in a particular body. We together form the body of Christ. And so the key word here is we need to be united. When we're united also, but the beautiful thing is we have, the second thing about the body is it's diverse. There's a diversity in the body. The hand is not the eye is not the ear, the ear is not the... There are so many different giftings in this body that we need each other. So there's diversity in the body. We are one, yet we are many. That's what the Bible is saying. Look at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Unity is our base. Diversity is our operation. Because in many, we come with various gifts. We begin to do things that others... I would say this, Jesus invested himself in uniquely, differently in each one of us. So when we come together, we bring the fullness of who he is. Hallelujah. And so we need you. Tell your neighbor, we need you. Manifest who you are through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we are many but one. The body is one but many members. We have fingers, we have all these things put together. Hallelujah. But they all make up who we are. Like I said, again, I can come and we can teach on diversity in many series of sermons. I'm giving you a summary of what a body looks like. Praise the name of the Lord. In verse 17, the Bible says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? Or you know, a lot of people will say that, but you see, the eye can be proud and say, without me, you can see nothing. But the feet will tell you, without me, you go nowhere. So every member is needed. So we are diverse, but one. So diversity is the way we operate. And so we need you. Don't feel strange when what you have is not here. In the same church, I talked to you about Saddleback. I was reading a book. He said, if somebody came to the pastor and said, I think we should do this. He said, I think you are the one who God has given that vision. Now, tell us, I give you permission to show us how we're going to do that. And they had 214 ministry in the church. Because whenever somebody has a burden for something, it looks like they are the ones God has given the vision to do that. And so the church began to explode and the community noticed. So you have something. Now, if you see some defect in this church, maybe God is calling you to rise to that place, to fill that place. Not to complain. Why would you think he's showing you? I wish the worship would have done this. Maybe you should rise up to do that. Or maybe this church should have done this. Maybe that is your calling, but you are ignoring it and you think it's somebody else. You see, the responsibility of a good pastor is not to do ministry. Because shepherds do not give birth to sheep. It is sheep that give birth to sheep. That's the truth. The responsibility of a shepherd is green grass. If I feed you good, once the sheep eat, they reproduce among themselves. Is it not true? Yeah. What our pastor has labored here is giving you the green grass. You are eating. So reproduce. It would be strange for a shepherd to give birth to the sheep. So the ministry of pastoral leadership is to equip you to do the work of ministry. Not to do the ministry. We should be the one doing ministry, not the pastor. Don't expect him to do things you are supposed to do. Praise the name of the Lord. The responsibility of a shepherd, if the word is not being preached, you have a right to complain. But I believe here, I can say we're confident the word is being preached. And something is wrong if we are not going to reproduce. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie in. Yeah, as a green pasture in the house. And we look forward to see multiplication. Praise the name of the Lord. And so one of the other thing about the body is, in spite of being, unity is number one. We are in diversity, but then we also have harmony. It is not just enough to be diverse. This operation of this gift are harmoniously functioning in the body. The Bible says in verse 15, if there is not harmony in the body, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. That would be strange. Is it not therefore part of the body? It has to operate in harmony. There are certain things as a church we have order. We know you have the gifting. But everything must be done in harmony. In complementary, we need to complement each other. Your strength will function in where my weakness is. And my strength, my weakness, you feel into where I'm weak, and I will feel where you're weak, and we become strong. But we need to operate as a body. There's harmony. How the hand eye, the coordination that makes this body different parts functioning as one and in harmony. Praise the name of the Lord. So nobody is insignificant. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I'll go quickly again. Now, why this analogy of the body? You go in the Ephesians, you'll find from verse 14 to 16, Pastor Victor read about it, the work of the fivefold ministry and equipping the body. The key word here is the body must be equipped. Because it needs to be taught to use what God has given them. We have resources, but the leadership must equip us to do the work of the ministry. That I've already alluded to it. But number two, the body must grow because it's a living body. Anything living must grow. Praise the name of the Lord. You cannot be alive and never grow. Something is wrong. So as a body, we talk about growth. So what is our growth is about? When you read in Ephesians, the Bible talks about we grow into the knowledge of the Son of God. Praise the name of the Lord. I mean, we are growing to look like the head. The body is catching up to what the head is. We grow into the knowledge and onto the mature man. What is that? The measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That is how we are growing in all things towards that. So we are not just, I say this to say the body as being equipped must grow. And as we grow, our vision is to be like Jesus in the world. The whole essence of our growth as a body is a dynamic of the image of God, is love. And as love is in our midst, hallelujah, we began to reflect. There's no way, there's nothing more like Jesus than love. When we love one another, we are reflecting him. And that's where maturity is. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is growing like that. But you know, the body does not just grow. It grows to function. Pastor Victor said about how he was a little baby mom took care of him, but now he's the one standing here talking about his parent. Like, he has grown. If he never grew, he would have been a burden to his mother, but now he's a blessing to his mother and father. Why? He's grown. Now he can stand here and say, this is my mom, and he's the one handing out certificate. You know, there's no such As a body, we need to grow and grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about speaking truth in love. Very seriously. But the whole essence is that love is the foundation of our relationship. Pastor talked about the community. If the community is going to thrive and flourish, love must be key. And so the same as the body, we grow in that love. As a body, we grow full of love. And once love is there, the Bible says, we will attract the world because we love one another. And love in itself is evangelism, practically. When the body loves one another, when we are one and we exhibit genuine love for one another, the world is devoid. There's something. If it's a question of money, the world has the money. If it's a question of good houses, the world has better houses than most Christians. So what do we have that they don't have? Love. They cannot, you see, you cannot fake love. You don't have it unless you have it. There's something we carry that they don't have. That the love, the true, genuine love of God. And that's when we rise in that, they will see. I prayed for a guy for 9 years. He could not even go to the bathroom. And he would give anything to be. And he was rich. But after prayer, God released him. He saw life in a very different way. But I say that to say, there are some valuable things that we ignore, that the world is looking for. The world has its millionaires. But when love is in the house of God, they will be coming to see something. Because every human being, beside anything else, in their heart, there is always a longing for genuine love. They are finding in different things. They think whatever they do, some in sex, some in drugs, some in so many things. But they're looking for something authentic that will qualify them to be human. Because they were created to bear God, not things. And so once that is genuinely found, everything else have meaning. Money will be so valuable. Because money takes the nature of its possessor. If you're no good, money is no good. Because you go do bad things. That's why we need in the church, because there are good people there, so money will become a good instrument for work of God. Praise the name of the Lord. As a body, we grow, but as a body, a body is a body of action. We need to grow as a body. As a mature Christians, we're going to work. The Bible says, being fitted together, held together by every joint that supplies. Pastor Victor alluded to that. And the Bible talks about what every joint supplies. According to the working of every individual part, we cause the growth of the body. So if you don't work, you don't do something, we're not growing. The body is dysfunctional for the lack of you. For the world, you may not think you are necessary. That's, like I said, there are visible parts of the body and the invisible parts of the body, but they are all necessary for the body to be. You may say, I have nothing, you have everything. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I just want you to see that every joint supplies what I have, what you have put together is going to bring transformation. We're looking forward to the community we have. But we must go as one body, united in spite of our diversity, in harmony. We go out in the community together as people. When we do this, we're going to effect transformation in a way we've never seen before. Amen. The Bible says, because we do not discern the body. It's not just the body. We do not discern who we are. And because of that, many are asleep. Because we don't understand who we are. It's just Jesus is not somewhere alone. Jesus is already part of who we are. We are one with him. When we discern that, then how I relate to you is very serious. I need to, how I talk to you, what I talk to you about, I should know this person carries God. I went with the Victor Senior somewhere. I mean, this church is loaded, but we don't understand. We were talking while we were going somewhere, just the normal things here. We went there, and it was a devotion going on. And they invited us to sit in the devotion. And before we know, we were also participating as if we were part of the whole thing. And everybody was standing around, where are these guys from? Praise the name of the Lord. It was so impactful, they realized. But then I realized, what we think is normal here, somebody needs it. Well, God help us. Be good ambassadors of the things God is committing to us in this house. Praise the name of the Lord. We need to be one. The body needs us to be one. So the key words I want you to get is that as a body, we are supposed to be unity. Flowing together. That I couldn't emphasize any more than that. Please, when you look around, the people you see are not just members, this is not a club. It's a living body. And therefore, the person you see is part of who you are. As far as God is concerned, you make one full body for him. You are a community, yes. And one. For him, that is the dream Jesus has, among many things, is for you to be one. and be aware. Come to the conscious awareness that you are one. The moment that begins to be our portion in our thinking, in our mind, then we will begin to see people differently. I cannot hurt you when I know when hurting you, I'm hurting myself. We talk ill of somebody else because we think they're different from us, but as far as God is concerned, we won. And so Jesus has taken himself to be part of us, that he says, why are you persecuting me? Not why are you persecuting my church? No, he's one with us. Will you be one with one another? Will you take, they don't have to be like you. They don't need to be like you. They knew it themselves. And once they're themselves, you'll see the benefit of who they are. Praise the name of the Lord. I say, praise Jesus. May the body be one and be alive and grow and reflect who Jesus is. I know tomorrow I'll be flying out to Kenya. My brother passed. But the Sunday I will be preaching to a different body of people. That's why I'm saying this. It's already... They know I'm going for funeral, but I've already arranged my preaching in different places. So, I will be speaking to different diverse group of people, totally from your faces. But they're still one. Still the body of Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. And so, church, the body is not just a collection of believers, but it's one entity before the living God. Amen?
Amen?
That is my message to you today. Understand who you are. When we do that, we're going to bring changes in this place like we've never seen before. God bless you all. Let me pray for you. Precious Father, I want to thank you for this body. Father, we're one. No different, but one. May your spirit continually bring this to our awareness and walk and do ministry as one. Be glorified and be magnified in Jesus' name. This place is a place where you're going to do marvelous and wonderful things, because with one accord, we have decided to unite, to see 300 come in, to see increase in all dimensions happening in this house. We thank you and bless you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Put your hands together for our dear pastor, Pastor Peter. Thank you so much. Such a wealth of experience. Please be seated briefly as we wrap up the service this morning. How many of you took notes? Don't raise up your hands. How many of you took notes? If you didn't take notes, I want to encourage you to take notes, whether on your phone or on a jotter, every time the word is going forward. Just a good practice. If you write down something, you're most likely to remember it. Amen? Well, how many of you were blessed? You can raise up your hands now. How many of you were blessed by this sermon? Good. Amazing. Well, on the series, of course, and next week we continue on that same thought. Well, this morning I have a special request from our senior pastor. We're going to be playing a video for Prophet Leslie's ministry here. Amen? How many of you have sat down under Prophet Leslie's ministry? All right. So you know what to expect. For those of you who don't know what to expect, sit back and enjoy this video. Media team, please roll it when we're ready.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you. I'm Reverend Dr. Samuel Leslie, the African prophet. I have good news for those of you living in the United States of America. I would also be in the city of Tulsa, Oklahoma, on the 5th of May, Sunday the 5th of May at 10 a.m. I'll be ministering at the Living Word International Church at Yales Avenue, Tulsa, Oklahoma. The address is on your screen. I'll be joining forces with Pastor Blaise Tinton, who is the General Overseer of Living Word International Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Please make sure you save the date and come with the sick. Come with those who need the touch of God. The power of God will be present to heal. I'll see you at this program. God bless you. Shalom.
Amazing. Listen, For those of you who have not sat down, this is not even, listen, this is not, you know, trying to hype somebody up. No, this is, you're going to see raw power when you show up here. Amen. You know, last time he was here, we witnessed a limb grow out. Yeah, creative miracle. Yeah, limbs were growing. Yes, hallelujah. And so it's amazing. I'm personally looking forward to this because I believe it's 8 years since I saw him when I was ordained into ministry on that Sunday. He ordained myself along with Pastor Blaze. So on my certificate, I have his name is also on there. So it's amazing. For me, it's special. So come and don't miss out on May the 5th. Hallelujah. I know that that week also for the students who are moving out, I know that it's a busy week. But make sure you make plans ahead of time. Okay? So don't say I'm moving out on Sunday morning. Sunday morning is not move out time. Right? You plan to move out earlier so you can be part of the service. If you're not traveling, okay? If you already have your flight, that's fine. But I want to invite, especially the young adults who are leaving that Sunday, I want to encourage you to be part of it. Amen? Jump on your feet this morning. Let's wrap up the service. Thank you, Lord. Just give God thanks. The next 15 seconds, Lord, we thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Thank you for your word that has come mightily. Oh, Father, we give you praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. And tonight, this morning, I decree as you step out of this room that you step into expansion in the name of Jesus. That the word for this year, which is our year of divine expansion, will begin to manifest in your life in the name of Jesus. Break forth to the left. Break forth to the right. In the name of Jesus. Any obstacle in your way this week, I decree that the power of the Holy Ghost will push it through. In the name of Jesus, every mountain, every situation that has been like a mountain in your life, this week it shall be leveled out. In the name of Jesus, I decree that the fragrance of the Spirit will be evident in your life. People will see you and like you this week. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said people will see you and like you this week. Decision makers will like you this week. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we spiritualize words. When you say, for instance, someone is favored, do you know what it means? It just means you're liked. Yes. Someone say, I want to favor this person. It means I like this person. Yes. This week, someone that is in high places will like you. Some your boss that has been giving you trouble this week, as you enter with the fragrance of the Spirit, he or she will like you. Yes. Let us not mystify things. Divine expansion just talks about breaking forth and moving from where you are to a new level. This week, I decree that you change levels supernaturally. In the name of Jesus. Even better, your feet, you will walk into the right places this week. Yes. Some of us just need to take the left turn. Just left. Turn left and you will get to your expansion. Amen. Listen. I pray that this year will not end without a remarkable testimony in your life. And that this week, as you step out, it will begin to brew something remarkable in your life in the name of Jesus. I see an open door for somebody this week. Yes. And the two doors flung open. Yes. Flung open. Flung open. Flung open. Any door that has been closed in your life hitherto, this week is opened up. In the name of Jesus. I see the fire of the Lord being released to burn anything that has been holding you bound. Addictions, chains, anything that has been holding you back, the fire of the Lord is released upon it. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. Our what? Our God is a consuming fire. So anything that has been standing in your way, like chaff, the fire of the Lord will consume it. In the name of Jesus, break forth to the left, break forth to the right, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus.